Pros, just because something on the job runs out doesn't mean you have to. Order it on the Lowe's app. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members get free same-day delivery on eligible orders over $25. Get the fasteners, hardware, or tools you need to keep the job moving. Order by 2 p.m. and get eligible in-stock items delivered right to your job site by 8 p.m. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Subject to availability. Restrictions and terms at Lowe's.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an FYF Friday on The Usual Suspects. F for Friday. For fun. Let's hope we have some. What the F is this guy doing sitting next to me? But whatever. Cody Stutes is in because Barry Laminack is out. Barry is in Fort Worth. F is for Fort Worth. Doing some comedy. The Stutester is here.
What the hell is this? Sesame Street? F is for friendship,
Did
Joel.
You want to slide in for your boy Jake Asman and do the Palillo show instead and we can find someone else then?
No.
Sesame Street?
Did you want to do the show with Jake Asman?
Look, Cookie Monster, if you got a problem with our let's just slow down here. Nick, what's going on?
What up, dude? What's going on?
I mean, the dude's here for 30 seconds. He calls our FYF Friday Sesame Street.
He's yelling at you right now. I don't know what his problem is.
I'm not yelling. Naturally loud.
You got anything else? No, that's Creighton. You got anything else you know that F stands for that's going to annoy me because of this guy's comment? No, I'm not getting into that. It's not starting there. Look fast. Never mind. So you actually were supposed to do a five-hour shift, and you got out of it. By the way, kudos to Jake Asman. I thought he did a really good job filling in for Palillo. I don't remember saying Charlie Palillo was his dad. And I heard he asked Tyler, like, do you see similarities? And, of course, Tyler tried to be nice, and he goes, well, you guys both have a firm grasp on sports radio. Let's be honest. They're the same size.
Yep. I was waiting for Tyler to say something about the size.
Same. I was driving in going, same size, same hairstyle. Probably same shoe size, Nick. I'm not sure, but I'm going, Asman's either smaller or the same.
They both have clearly been wearing the same clothes for a long time.
Both from Long Island. Yes, both don't throw a single article of clothing away. I think there's lots of similarities. I think Charlie might have slipped one through by the catcher at some point when he didn't realize
it. And I would agree with that.
See? And somewhere in the child court system, Asman became the new name after Palillo, or they didn't know. So I think it's a possibility. It's like long-lost relatives that have been reconnected.
It is. And they just so happen to both enjoy sports talk radio.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm trying to entertain, and you're just sitting there. So why don't you tell us what you did last night with this fire festival
thing? F is for fire festival documentaries.
See, what the hell is that? Nick, do you know this fire? He's trying to explain this to me before we get started.
No.
Fire festival?
Mm-mm.
So I'll just give you the synopsis here. The fire festival was like this big event that they were going to put on in the Bahamas. It was going to be like this big party with all these bands and artists. Like, it was going to be, you know, like Burning Man or Coachella, but right. In the Bahamas, it's going to be a luxury event. You could stay in, like, villas. You could stay on, like, yachts. Like,
See,
all
Nick
this
and
crazy
I call
stuff.
Them villas, but if you call them villas.
Villas, villas, whatever, okay? they were going to have, like, cabanas that you could buy or rent for the weekend. It's going to be this huge deal, and it was this guy who put it on with Ja Rule.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did hear something about this.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So the people get there. It's just a tent city. There's no villas. There's no yachts. There's no hot chicks and models. And it got a lot of criticism because they paid a bunch of social media influencers to talk about it, talk it up, got a bunch of people to come, and it was just a total disaster.
Everybody wanted their money back.
So they made a whole documentary about it, and it's fascinating to watch how this guy, like, he and Ja Rule just basically conned all these people into coming to this festival that sucked.
And they got to keep the money?
Here's the crazy part. I didn't even find, like, they don't even tell you because I don't think there really was. They just took all the stolen money and repurposed it into the festival, like trying to make it better when it was still crappy. Like they bought like these tents that were left over from like hurricane refugee and tried to sell them as like cabanas.
Jeez.
It was a great documentary. It's on Netflix. It's like a little over 90 minutes. It's worth your time. And it just shows it will, if you despise millennials, this is for you. Like it makes my generation look like total idiots for buying into this and not like bailing out. Like there are so many red flags as one of the people that like went should have seen that it's just baffling.
Really?
And then they show this guy like after this, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but like he keeps doing stuff like he's a white collar criminal and they just like keep letting him do stuff.
So he didn't get arrested for any of this.
I don't want to spoil the end.
I'm pretty sure I'm not going to watch it. Nick, you?
Yeah.
Probably not. That's
all
not
right,
mine.
Well, yes.
So there you go.
Probably not.
If this was the R. Kelly documentary, it'd be totally different because Nick and I watched all of them.
Okay.
That was
okay.
Good and bad
that?
At the same
I didn't
time.
Watch that.
See, that's the difference. I mean, evidently, we obviously know that you didn't listen to any R&B growing up.
No.
You may be whiter than milk.
No, yeah.
Okay, see? So then you... The R. Kelly, we grew up with the music and everything else, so we were entrenched in the whole deal. So we could ruin that for you. We didn't want to ruin it for our listeners, but I'm pretty sure no one's going to watch this documentary you're talking about.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Okay,
but all the bad folk from that era, I was very intrigued by the documentaries. Like I was intrigued with the O.J. Simpson documentary, Tanya Harding,
Keith Sweat,
R. Kelly. No, Sweat. No,
even I knew who Keith Sweat was.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah, I was listening to that the other day.
You were listening to it the other day?
I was listening to
the show.
I was
like, yeah, if you were cranking out Keith Sweat, I mean, then Nick's influence on Way Back Wednesday is far deeper than I had expected.
No, I wouldn't.
Had no idea who was 57, though, but they said he was relevant before the Twisted song that I knew about. But
yeah. Gonna make you sweat on the first album. Yep.
Hmm.
So there you go. Don't ruin it. You can ruin it for us. So these guys.
It's incredible. Like, they had, at one point, one of the organizer guys, they had all their water for the festival that was flown in, so I had to go through customs. Well, stuck in customs, and the head organizer guy asks his, like, best friend at the time who is helping him organize all this and is, like, Mr. Problem Solver, is, like, fixed so much. He's like, you got to go to the customs guy and get our water out, or no, we'll have no water. And he goes, okay, what do I need to do? The guy's asking for, you know, $180,000. He goes, well, I can't say it like he says in the documentary, but he insinuates that because his assistant likes men, that the customs agent also enjoys the company of men, and that if he did something for him, they could get their water out of the
Would
customs.
Would this be an SID moment? Or what does Bray call it?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Remember when he told the dad to...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, uh-huh, oh, oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they insinuated that if the organizer assistant did that...
Is it SAD?
SMD, maybe?
Oh, yes. For the customs agent, that the customs agent would let the water go.
In more ways than one.
Well,
I mean, it's just throwing it out there. Yeah, I forget what
Whatever
has
it was.
That term for it. Yeah.
Anyway, it was a good documentary. I would recommend it. And these guys are just being haters.
Okay.
Right. I might check it out. I'm big on documentaries anyway, so I might. There's a lot of documentaries that I've tried and I thought they would be bad, and then when you get into them, you actually like them. So you never know.
Have you guys ever experienced one of those festivals?
Coachella. I've never been to one of those.
I would love to go to Coachella.
Well, Lisa's parents live like literally from their bedroom balcony. You can see the Ferris wheel at Coachella. They're literally a half mile from Coachella.
Interesting.
That's amazing.
So we were there, I think, last year during week one, and it is just like Woodstock all over again. I mean, you got people like Lisa and I went to get coffee. The Starbucks is full of guys that look like they just got out of a Scooby-Doo van.
Yeah.
That haven't showered in like a month. That, you know, are growing hair in places now that, because it's like, you know, when grass spreads, they're growing places they never thought they could. They don't care. And they're just waiting for the next stage to have the next act. But it's a big deal. And then, like you're saying, because that was the one that had all the controversy. And I want to say, who was it? One of the big names in music sued because of the fact that it was, I think it was Drake. Drake sued because he was renting this pretty lavish house right across the street.
Yeah.
And he said that he was racially profiled and discriminated against, and he was going to sue, and it was a big deal. But there's some top money neighborhoods right around Coachella.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Not Lisa's parents, but on the other side of the road, so to speak. Yeah, they're pretty.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was just kind of like out in the middle of the desert.
I mean, it's right on the outskirts of Palm Springs, Coachella is. So Palm Springs is where all the old people with money go to play golf the rest of
the
time.
For me, the whole Tupac hologram, that I would love to see that perform. I would love to see that.
That
would
have been very cool.
That would be amazing for me.
Shocking that you would be intrigued by anything and interested in anything with Tupac.
Yeah, I know. Big shocker. But, I mean, what I saw from YouTube, it was amazing. Like, people were having a blast watching that.
It's,
and I don't know if it's called a hologram, but that Tupac hologram.
Yeah.
They might have its own name. I don't know.
Nick's a big, in case you didn't know, Nick's the biggest Tupac fan around.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. You were on the wrong side of that rap beef.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that wasn't very nice to Tupac.
But wasn't very nice to you either, but geez. Way to get off to a hot start in segment one, Code.
What's the documentary's name? Fire, the greatest party that ever happened.
I guarantee our listeners are going to be all over that this weekend.
F-Y-R-E.
Mm-hmm. F is for F, yeah, Friday,
F
too.
F is for Fire, which is a fire documentary.
And F is for, yeah. Hey, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter, where it's at Cody underscore Stutes, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Quick reminder, it's 60 degrees in Houston today, so the beer is always a frosty 29 degrees at Twin Peaks, regardless of the temperature. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views, so if you want to stop by and grab a brew, that's all you got to do. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. If you're an NBA basketball fan, Chris Mannix, who has been covering the NBA for a long time and doing it well, going to join us on the phone at 3:30 this afternoon. So we'll talk a little bit about the historic run of the Beard, the Rockets, what he sees in the future. And, of course, Nick's favorite player, Clint Capela, may come up. So we'll get to that. Before we get to that, breaking news out of the NFL, and this kind of goes with what the storyline was last night, that Ben Watson, who is not a mediocre tight end, Tyler and I had a little Twitter back and forth because of the fact that he called Ben Watson a mediocre tight end. When Watson came out, he's one of the most respected players in the NFL. He was planning on retiring by playing in the Super Bowl with the Saints. Obviously, we know what happened with the blatant non-call. He basically went and called out Roger Goodell and said, "You've never said anything about this. Why? What's going on? You know, you need to do this." Everything else set off this whole firestorm. Now, on top of that, the NFL, which Goodell still has yet to speak on that, has fined Roby Coleman, the defensive back, $26,000 for a helmet-to-helmet on the call that wasn't called.
I knew that was going to be a topic point. It was just a matter of time that number was going to be revealed because they have to follow protocol in terms of the contact.
And he would pay $260,000 to do it again.
Yeah. I was going to say, between his teammates and the organization under the table, they may just do a little collection fund and go, bro, it was worth every penny of the $26,739.
Aaron Donald could just peel that off his lunch money and just say, here you go. Thanks.
Yeah. No question about it. But, yeah, I mean, that, of course, this is just going to fire up Saints fan even more. And that's what happened last night. Tyler and I were going back and forth on this Twitter thing, and I was like, look, he's not mediocre. Tyler said he's never had 750 yards in a season. Well, he's had 850 yards in a season. I said he's won a Super Bowl ring. If you've played in the NFL for 14 years, You're doing something right. You're Walter, not just mediocre.
Peyton Man of the Year,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, that too. Yeah. Yes. So he's done a lot of things. He's earned the right, obviously, to be able to at least speak his mind, and especially on his way out when he thought he had a chance to win a ring. But this goes with the rich Saints fan that put the billboards all over town and, you know, all of the hurt feelings that are out there, because that's what spun off the Tyler and I tweeting back and forth. Saints fans got involved and was like, you know, this is still, it's more about the call and the play, and this is terrible. And bottom line is, obviously you can't change it. The biggest thing that I've said here with the guys is, you just hope that something is done because of it so it doesn't happen again, because that game will not be remembered for great play by players and teams and all those different things. It's going to be remembered for a call or a no call.
Unfortunately, because there was some dynamite play in that game.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it on both sides, right? And there was also some calls that could have gone either way on both sides. But at the end of the day, it's only going to be known for the non-call.
By the way, if, and like Saints fans are going to like to hear this, if the Saints had made the Super Bowl, the Patriots would absolutely have housed them.
I disagree. I don't feel that way. Nick, do you?
Housed them.
In terms of what? I'm sorry.
He said if the Saints got to the Super Bowl instead of the Rams, that the Patriots would have housed Jacoby's.
Yeah, I think the defense, despite the fact that Saints, the Saints can put up numbers and they're really good offensively, I think the Patriots would have been able to tear up the defense so bad that the offense would not have been able to recover.
The reason I say that is Drew Brees, since that Atlanta game at Thanksgiving, has not been Drew Brees. Like, they've hit it well, but his yards per attempt is down. His passer rating on deep passes is down. Like, he's just, everything has fallen apart for him since that game. He took like a hard fall trying to tackle somebody on the interception. He's hadn't been the same dude. And I think the Rams got a way better shot than the Saints at beating him.
And I think the worst case scenario is if the Saints had gone to the Super Bowl and then they didn't get off to a good start on offense. I think that would have absolutely killed the momentum or any chance for them to win a game, because you're right, they have struggled. They didn't struggle, but they didn't do as good as they did earlier in the season, and I think that's scary going into the Super Bowl.
But it is Sean Payton, and I mean, 2 weeks to prepare for Sean Payton, he usually can give it.
So this is where I'm going with that, right? Okay. So obviously the thing that is always a fear factor for me is anytime you give Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for anybody, you're in trouble, because he just has a way of taking away the one or two things you really, the players, the things you like to do and do best. But on the flip side, give Sean Payton 2 weeks to scheme for a defense that, look, they played better than expected against Kansas City, but overall, I don't know that they have the talent to stay with what the Saints possibly could do. I think Sean Payton could have an advantage there.
The only thing that would be a huge standout for the Patriots on defense is Stephon Gilmore. Everything else is average or below, and they just play really well.
You know, Van Noy, they have some guys that can do some things in the front seven. A few defensive backs are not
Landon Roberts
bad.
Gets to the quarterback every now and then. Hightower's really nice.
Hightower's good, yeah. So, but here's the thing, too, because everybody's already crapping all over the Rams and saying this is the Patriots are favored. They're going to run away with this thing. They're going to win. I just think much like, but not as heralded because he hasn't done it over time, I really believe like Sean McVay is going to push the limits of Bill Belichick's expertise on defense.
So here's the really weird part for Belichick is there's not a huge, like, you can't dig into your opponent like you typically could, because a lot of these Rams guys are in positions where they've never been before and you really don't know how they act. Like, the only track record that we have for Jared Goff in big games, like, you realize Jared Goff's played one big game his entire life.
And he's the youngest quarterback ever to reach the Super Bowl.
He's played one big game. It was the NFC Championship
against the Saints,
game.
Right?
Yeah, it was against the Saints. Like, he's played one huge game in his entire career. McVay, like, 5 years ago, he was the tight ends coach. Like, I understand that he's like there's just not a lot you can dig into, and they do so many different things well. Like, Belichick's got his hands full. Like, if he's going to play master genius on this thing, you saw it with Peterson last year. Yeah. Like, I understand it's Andy Reid's tree, but, you know, Peterson does a lot of stuff that Andy doesn't do. And that you saw where the Eagles were able to exploit that last year.
Let's go back to you saying that the Saints would have gotten housed.
I think they got housed.
Let me give you another point to consider, to chomp on a little bit, right? Okay. The Patriots' path has been in cold weather on natural grass. The Saints on turf are obviously a different team.
Correct.
So the fact that you take a Patriots team, which has kind of exploited the fact that it isn't about speed, it kind of takes a lot of the speed factor out when you've got freezing temperatures. We saw that with Tyreek Hill, only had one catch for 42 yards. You put them in a dome, in a place they've played before, they play once a year, that in a place where they feel comfortable and they can exploit the two backs and the speed that they have and the fact that Breeze feels more comfortable, they have an edge on speed on turf. That's why I would disagree with the housed comment.
I mean, look, we'll never get to find out because right. the NFL blew that call and Sean Payton decided to throw the ball.
Which, see, and Barry and I went back and forth on this, and I was adamant about that, that if Payton would have just followed the textbook what to do in that situation, you probably would still have won the game in regulation.
Or how about when we decide to throw the ball, we don't throw the ball to a guy that even Saints fans have never heard of.
Right.
And Tommy Lee, whatever the hell his name was.
And to your point, Breeze, who normally makes that throw, threw it at his shoe tops.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy Lee Smith on the one.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about just on first down, on a quick slant route, and he threw it right at his shoe tops. And it's like, that's not Drew Breeze.
No.
But again, if you hand it off to Kamara or Mark Ingram, you wouldn't have to deal with all this.
And, you know, I'm fuzzy on how football works exactly. You can still get first downs running the football, mm-hmm. right? Mm, and you have two really good running backs, mm-hmm. right?
That's my point.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. Hey, we're just getting started. Half hour in. It's fun and games on an Friday, Cody. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. You can text, you can call, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the second half hour of hour number one. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. We've already stirred up Clarence thanks to mentioning more about the aftermath of the Saints. So our resident Saints fan is using cuss words on Twitter again, which means things are not good in his world.
No.
Did y'all see this article that came out about kind of the backstory of Antonio Brown?
It was a really interesting read.
It was.
And I don't know how you felt about after reading it, but I felt a lot different about Antonio in the sense that I kind of get it a little bit more. I don't fully agree with him, but I kind of get it a little bit more just listening to the stories and how they talk about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think at least from an encouraging standpoint for Antonio Brown, everybody said he works his ass off more than anybody in the locker room. When he's there at practice and at the games and doing whatever he does, that he is a hard worker, which is great to hear. But what they did in the article is they've got past and present players to speak about everything that's gone down. And they said that he was habitually late. That
not just habitually late, like guys are uniformed and ready to play, and he's rolling in his
mink coat.
Mink coat, yeah.
And a lot of the reason why they've been tolerant to this point is with the obvious reasons. He's an all-pro wide receiver. He's one of the best in the game. And like they said, you can be mad at what time he showed up, but as you go into the fourth quarter and he's got 150 yards and however many catches and a touchdown, you're like, dude's doing his job. But at the same time, and I've said this on the show before when the Packers were ready to get rid of Brett Favre. At a certain point, it's like you've got to draw a line in the sand, or going forward, your coach is going to have no credibility or control, nor is your general manager, and things are going to start falling apart for your organization. They said everybody who has to stay in the little dorm rooms with the dorm room bed and the wooden dresser on the Steelers, except for Antonio Brown. He got a rental house down the street that was luxurious, and he was dropped off every morning in a Mercedes-Benz. That would chap my ass.
It really would.
if I was on that team.
It really would. Especially because, like, especially if Ben's staying in the, like, if Big Ben's staying in the lock, in the dorm rooms with everybody, right. If, like, the coaches even stay in the
Lady
dorm
on
rooms.
Bell or Pouncey or
yeah,
whoever.
Yeah, all those guys.
Yeah, I would be against that part of it. And as I said back when we were talking about this, when it was about Favre, everybody had to dress up for flights. Favre wore his Lee jeans and a plaid shirt. Everybody had to go to OTAs. He had a bow hunting target practice set up at OTAs while they were on the field or in the bubble practicing, he was shooting bow. They all had to park outside in the elements at Lambeau on the tundra. He got to park underneath. I mean, it was all these different things. It was like, okay, you can't, how long can you continue to do this before you tear apart the organization from the inside out? And I think that's where the Steelers are, because Tomlin evidently had made a statement to the team at one point alluding to the fact that, hey, look, when this guy's stats start to diminish, that's when we're really going to have to do something. But he thought that the glue that kept the team from losing it on this situation was because he put up numbers.
And look, he put up numbers again this year, and they finally decided it wasn't worth the headache. And it seems, if you read this article, that the Antonio and Big Ben relationship has always been a kind of a push-each-other relationship. And it seems that recently Ben's pushed it too far. Antonio's taken it to heart, had his feelings hurt a couple times. And no-showed this past there, you know, no-showed the last game of the season this past year to kind of show, look how bad you are without me. And then the stats back it up. Juju had a bad game. They barely beat whoever they were playing. And
it was Cincinnati in the final game of the regular season.
Right. And, you know, look, they're sticking with Big Ben this week. The GM says, or the front office says, we're going to work on an extension for Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, well, if the wide receiver hates the quarterback, then the wide receiver's leaving.
Well, something's got to give, right? If that's if it's truly between those two guys, and what you heard was late in that final week, it was Roethlisberger and AB, and someone threw a ball, and they got into it face-to-face, whatever the case may be, but then he decides to do the mink coat, show up late, skip the walkthrough, and doesn't play, and leaves at halftime, and that just throws more salt in the wound, because you hear everything from even the guys at the Pro Bowl that said, it's not friends, we're all brothers in that locker room. But the fact of the matter is, and Barry made reference to this on the show, we're all like family here. And the thing is that what we do is, whatever we have going on, when we go on the air, we do our jobs. And the thing is, he stopped doing his job. When it came time to, hey, the red light's on, let's go do this thing, he's in a mink coat on the sideline, showed up late, wasn't wearing team gear, decides, you know what, I'm done at halftime, I'm going home.
After maybe showing up some and then not showing up some for practice that week.
Like, yeah, and so now it's not just between you and Big Ben, now it's between you and the entire locker room, who knows you need a win just to have a chance to get in.
Yep.
And obviously it proved the Ravens won the game and Steelers were eliminated, but they did their job and hung on for a 16-13 victory that you can say what you want, but if AB's on the field, you might not have had to hang on for a victory.
Sure. It's a really, really weird situation. How Tomlin or management didn't step in and make sure something like this didn't get this bad is beyond me. And again, makes me feel a little bad for Antonio, some of the stuff he had to deal with, just Big Ben, but he's gone about it the total wrong way. Doesn't Big Ben strike you as the type of guy that if, and I mean, like, they talk about how he was criticizing Antonio on his radio show.
He did that.
Saying he wish he'd thrown the ball to Juju every time. And doesn't Big Ben seem like the type of guy that if Antonio Brown got in his face, Ben would back down?
I kind of. Now, he's changed a lot. When he came into the league, he was a totally different guy than after he had all the off-the-field stuff going on with allegations and potential legalities. But at the same time, again, they've made comments over and over again. They said Antonio Brown had a picture in his locker room with the two of them, and Ben signed it and said, they can't stop us.
Yeah, we're unstoppable.
So that's the thing. Now they're stopping themselves, because you look at it, you take this situation, you take the Le'Veon Bell situation, you assume one, if not both, are going to go. It doesn't matter if Ben re-ups. Because remember, 2 years ago or a year ago, Ben was thinking about calling it a career. Now they're going to re-up with him, but a lot's going to be about what's around them, because that team, we all said it all year long, Nick, when we were doing picks. Hey, all they got to do is get in. They got enough talent. They could do a lot of things. There was enough talent there. But if you take those two guys, arguably let's not just say the best player at the running back and wide receiver position, but let's say one of the top three at each of the positions, and you lose both in a year, that's devastating to your franchise.
I think Big Ben had a ton of – he didn't have as much leverage when Antonio Brown was putting up all those numbers. I think the second that the numbers were diminished, then you started hearing comments like, well, I would make the argument that the offensive line is a more important position than wide receiver. I would make the argument that the offensive line is a more important position than the quarterback. When things are going well, I don't think the quarterback has that much leverage against a really good wide receiver like Antonio Brown. But when things start to fall a little bit, Big Ben doesn't necessarily have to adhere to everything that you're doing or saying.
If you had to bet on it, he's playing another uniform next year, right?
Brown, I would make that argument.
Think, I think obviously Bell's gone, and I think Brown's gone too. And as we've always said,
think about the talent drain that presents.
That's like, what
look,
I'm saying.
Connor's nice, Juju's nice. They're not Bell and Brown.
And that's what I'm saying. When you look at it, and we always say this, and it's always been the case, when you trade a franchise player, when you trade a superstar, you never get equal value in return. You just don't. And from a team that's trading for him's perspective, we don't have to give you top dollar because you have to do something. We don't. So the thing is, when you look at this and you see the situation, you go, even what they get, if it's draft picks and otherwise, they're not going to get the return on the investment or the move as the team that's getting either guy. So you and to say that with Ben, obviously at the downside of his career too, what you do is get young players, but young players aren't going to have timing with Ben, understand the system, what it takes to be a pro. Steelers have to take a huge step back. And in Ben's career, I'm not sure he wants to do that. Do you trade Ben?
No.
I mean, think you squeeze out every minute you can out of Big Ben, right?
Yeah.
Because that's one thing, Nick, to your point, though, is at the end of the day, we all admit the most important position on the entire football field is the quarterback.
Yep.
So they have to have him. Otherwise, it's a complete and total rebuild, and you might as well just start over. But even with him, to the point you were making, Cody, that I made earlier, I just don't think they're even close. I mean, I think that's Cleveland's division now.
If Lamar Jackson learns how to throw the ball, Baltimore's still good.
Yeah. But do they scare you the way a Steelers team that would come at you with two all-pro receivers in Juju and AB? If you had Le'Veon Bell,
no.
You've got Jesse James, you've got an offensive line.
Their defense is imposing, but this is an offensive league. If you can light the scoreboard up, I'm scared of you.
Yeah, and they could do that when they walked on the field. They're not going to do that next year?
Is there a place that you think Antonio Brown fits more than anything else?
In terms of a team?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jerry Rice has come out and said the Niners and Garoppolo, and he wants to, obviously I've made the points that Antonio Brown between the guessing game where they figure out who's under the freaking mask and dances with the stars. He's a Hollywood guy. He does all the commercials.
Sure.
San Francisco needs a big deep threat. It makes sense.
You ain't getting number two overall.
Nope. No, you're not. That's what I'm going to say. They have a lot of draft picks stocked up. I mean, I don't know. You know what this is? This is Dallas situation part two. This is the Amari Cooper situation with Dallas part two. What team desperately needs a wide receiver one that might be willing to ante up something? I don't know. Jacksonville?
Now,
depending on what they do with the quarterback?
All right, let's play this game. Let's say Jacksonville signs Nick Foles, trades for Antonio Brown. I mean, they're the AFC favorite next year, right?
I don't know about the AFC favorite, but I would say they're the favorite to win the division with Texans fans are going to hate this, but with the Colts, right?
I mean,
am I wrong?
Him in Jacksonville feels like a pretty imposing situation, like especially if they figure out the quarterback spot.
Right, because they're going to get somebody.
Right, because Marquise Lee will come back. He's a nice receiver. He's a great two. Mm-hmm. Like he's probably not really a one.
Right.
But he's a really nice player to have as a number two wide receiver. Antonio's the one. They figure out the situation with Fournette. Seems like they've mended fences there.
I think they're good there, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as he gets off the cupcakes, he'll be fine come training camp.
Falcons is a bad spot for him?
Can you
imagine him and Julio?
Yeah, but think about that. You got
him
Julio
and Julio
Jones.
And Ridley?
You drafted Ridley. You've got who's their two?
Sanu.
Mohamed Sanu. So they've already got three burners. I'll tell you where I want him to go, but you know that, Nick, because I already wanted Le'Veon Bell to go there too. Give Aaron Rodgers Antonio
Packers.
Brown. Now, believe me, he has nothing to do but focus on football because there is nothing to do in Green Bay. But I will. There's a mall there.
Here's the thing. You think he already had a gruff relationship with Big Ben. I mean, is he going to have the gruff relationship with Aaron Rodgers too?
If you know how much he throws the ball and where he throws it, and he can make him and Davante Adams look good on either side, and he got a chance to win, and he's already played in cold weather.
I'll give you a hint where I think he's going.
Well, don't hint. This is radio. Speak it out.
Let me tell you, that Antonio Brown guy, Oakland, baby. John Gruden would love that.
That was Gruden?
That was Gruden. You didn't get that?
I didn't get that.
I was going to say Oakland, but I didn't know about the Derek Carr situation and what's going to happen with that.
Well, that'll be interesting based on all the stuff going on with First Take. So, yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen it. See, Mayock chimed in now, too. So, that thing gets crazier by the day. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if well, because you know what, Nick? You're right. Oakland, because of the fact that they lost Cooper, and just like Gruden lost Mac and said, well, now we really need a pass rusher. Well, you need a receiver too. Yeah, they could do something. That's a good call, Nick. All right, hey, we're going to roll on. We're going to take a quick break here and come back with a whole lot more. It's Cody Stutes in for Barry. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up hour number one of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F, yeah, Friday. If you're looking for F or funny, we're taking a week off because our man Barry, who normally picks out our comedian of the week, is obviously on the road doing some comedy. So we'll get that back for you next week. Unless you want to tell jokes, Cody. Well, let's not, Nick. No. Let's just cancel. That's like lawn talk. Let's just make sure that doesn't happen.
We can have him come out of break every hour once he'd be the comedian of the week.
That's what I was going to say. But do you really want that?
Sure. Why not?
At the same time, do you want to know how to get rid of dandelions? Just throwing it out there.
So you're bringing it up now.
Right, because I don't. It's the same kind of pain that I would feel. Cody telling jokes or Barry giving lawn talk.
Wow. I'm not nearly as good at telling jokes as he is at lawn talk.
Evidently, I'm not as good as you. Because when I took the day off for jury duty this week, the first text we got the next day was, Cody doesn't sound as funny the next day. I don't know why. I never knew you to be the funny guy. So if you want to be the comedian of the week, the door is open.
Do I not make you laugh, Joel?
Sometimes. It depends.
I don't know. Maybe
they said something about you dancing around naked or something?
No, I wasn't dancing around naked. I almost had to do a job interview shirtless.
Why?
Well, it was so I signed up for this online shopping thing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and they make you do a video interview. But it's not really an interview. It's just they ask a question. You have to answer it in video form. And I didn't have a shirt on. I was like, oh, I got to put a shirt on for this. I should have just gone shirtless, though.
Why did you not have a shirt on?
Because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Do you sleep with a shirt on?
I do. Do you, Nick?
Either or.
Yeah, I'm just underwear.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't.
I'm all about maximizing me in the blanket.
Really?
Yeah. No, like I think it's so crazy. You see, like TV shows or movies, people put on like full set pajamas, and I'm like, how do you go to sleep in those?
Yeah, no, I'm not a pajamas guy by any means. I'm like gym shorts that have the liner in them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That were so they're really soft on the inside.
Sure, sure, sure.
I'm just like gym shorts and a t-shirt guy, but I'm definitely not just. First of all, underwear, no matter what you wear, is not that comfortable.
Boxers are comfortable.
I don't. What kind of underwear do you wear? Do I need
boxer briefs?
You see. I heard you say this earlier. You're not an Adidas guy, totally. Or you're getting into Adidas a little bit.
I'm not really getting into them, but
okay. Adidas performance underwear is the underwear.
Oh, stop it!
It is the underwear.
Sleep in too, though, or just strictly?
No, I sleep in boxers.
Okay.
Straight up boxers.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. And first of all, the thing, and I don't know, Nick, if you've experienced this, Cody, Dry Fit by Nike does not stink. Dry Fit by Adidas within an hour stinks.
I really think you got the wrong Adidas version of the Rash Guard or the. Because you try another one. Try another one. I'm telling you, it may not be as bad. Okay. They're not that bad. They're really not that bad. Okay. I'm not going to say that they're better than Nike. because I know you're a big Nike guy, but mm-hmm. I don't think they're as bad as you think they are.
Adidas is more fat guy friendly, so I like Adidas.
Why don't you try those ones that they do the advertising on that don't the Duluth Trading that look like satiny dry fits?
You know how much those underwear are? Like $80.
Yeah.
No
I've
way.
Seen them. Yeah. They really are.
No
they really
way.
Are.
Underwear is $80. Who's paying $80 for drawers?
People.
You gotta be kidding me.
I've seen them.
80 bones for some drawers?
Even if you get them as a deal online, I think it's $80, right, Cody? Like,
yeah.
You can't find them cheaper online.
Like $80?
No. I mean, because look, the commercials themselves, and then when they show you the material, looks like they'd be comfortable easy on the boys, so you might want to try them out. I'm not buying $80 underwear.
Nobody's
That's
crazy. Buying it. Rich people don't even buy $80 underwear.
Let me tell you something. That if they're $80, they not only should keep them dry, they should wash them, buff them, dry them, and like towel dry them for you whenever you need them.
Yeah. I'm not
$80.
I like myself. I don't like myself that much.
Boy, I should have a tip jar. Come on, $80? That's even, ridiculous.
You know what I would do if somebody gave me a gift of those? I would return them for store credit and buy something else.
You'd buy Adidas. Because
you'd buy like a lot of stuff with $80.
Yeah, man. What am I missing that underwear is $80 now? You get a 3-pack for like what, 18, 20?
The thing I've learned watching some of these like trash reality TV shows.
Yeah.
Is there's a whole realm of clothing that is not even really available to me or maybe even to you. Just like we wouldn't even go and venture that way. Like $180 for a white tee. Like, nope.
It's like, yeah. Several thousand dollars for a sweater or a shirt. I mean,
yeah. Like Deshaun Watson's purple sweatshirt that he wore in the national championship. $800 sweatshirt.
Nick and I were talking about this last year. Harden's outfits. Not that he's paying for them.
Right.
But yeah, they're just gaudy in how much they cost.
Well, we were talking about that with Raheel. Remember that when he came in studio and he's like, if I had that money, I would spend. Like, does he get all those clothes for free? I mean,
well,
he's not paying for some of them.
They get free pub every time he wears it because everybody's going to like, what's he wearing? Obviously, the NBA and the national broadcast have made a big deal. Westbrook and those guys. So then they can like pump it up and get marketing out of it. But maybe he pays for some of it, but those guys get so much. That's the sickest thing about all of this. The more money you make, the more stuff you get for free. I've seen it with my own eyes over again.
But when you don't make any money, people don't respect you. It's so true.
In my first year with the Rockets making peanuts, literally peanuts, right? And we made the run.
Shelled or unshelled?
It doesn't matter. And they weren't in Duluth Trading underwear.
Right.
My peanuts. But we're sitting there and we're okay. It was actually Robert Horry and I were walking down the Riverwalk in San Antonio during the playoffs. He had people yelling at him from the Hard Rock Cafe and otherwise. Come on, Rob, we'll buy you dinner. We go to the movies after that. I pay for my ticket. Mr. Horry, yours is free. We get ready. Concession stand. They're coughing all this stuff up. We go to sit in the seats. I'm shaking my head. He goes, what's wrong with you? I go, I make like 1/100th of what you make, and I just paid for everything, and you just got everything free. What's wrong with this world?
It's the way it is. It's the way it is.
I don't
man.
Know, man. I guess they think if you got a lot of money, you can convince other people who have lots of money to buy that stuff. Maybe I don't know.
Or itch their back in the future. Like I mean, it's sometimes that you know I'm helping you out. Sometimes it's out of love because they're such big fans.
True, I see that.
Boy. Yeah, right. It's so true, though.
All right, let's get Paul's call out of here because it's the Pro Bowl. Paul might be the only person on the planet that's engaged in the Pro Bowl. Paul, what's up?
How much, man? Just a little quick comment on the Pro Bowl. When I was growing up, I remember the Pro Bowl being after the Super Bowl because now it's before the Super Bowl. You're not going to see your favorite players because they're going to run the chance of getting hurt before the Super Bowl. So you're not going to see all your favorites. It used to be after the Super Bowl, but okay. It's still a joke.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Look, I take it a step further, and Nick and I were talking about this the other day. The good news is players wouldn't back out of the Pro Bowl when it was in Hawaii because it was a free paid vacation for them and their family after the season, right?
Yeah.
Orlando ain't getting that done.
No.
Disney is not the draw to get the big names to play.
No.
And secondly, and more importantly, the Pro Bowl shouldn't even be a game. You can do your skills challenges. You can do all these different things. But ain't nobody going to try and hit somebody hard over the middle and take away someone's livelihood.
I watched the skills challenge last night. It was actually really fun.
Did you see that throw by Adam Thielen?
Yes!
That was the only highlight for me, honestly.
I watched the Skills Challenge last night, and I was just like, I had no preconceived notions about it. I was like, you know what? Let's just watch these top 1% of athletes do crazy stuff. And sure enough, I was entertained.
I didn't watch it, but I saw clips on it on Twitter, and that throw by Thielen was pretty impressive.
Well, I can tell you this. On the other side of impressive, Nick, Von Miller, who said he was first position was a quarterback, and he kept bragging about it on SportsCenter, did the quarterback challenge for hitting all the targets. He scored 2 points. It was awful.
I think Deshaun had the third highest total of the throwers.
I saw the one where the receivers had to do all these different things with a quarterback, and Deshaun threw to Juju Smith-Schuster, and it was pretty impressive, the stuff they were pulling off.
Deshaun was firing some dodgeballs,
yeah, he was
too.
Throwing
I was
some
like,
dimes.
Hey, let's cool down on the shoulder here a little bit. Let's cool it on the shoulder.
And that's your extent of the Pro Bowl. We stop it right there.
That's pretty much it.
Unless you're putting flags on these guys, no one's hitting anybody. The game itself isn't worth it. That's my opinion.
There were no offensive linemen in the skills challenge.
Good. Jeez.
They should have like a fat guy relay or something, you know?
Wrestling. Just make it like sumos. There you go. All right, hour number one in the books. 2 hours still to go of the big show. It's
I'm
the usual
in.
Suspects. Cody Stoots is in. For Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We'll be back with more. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, folks.